But today I'd like to talk with us about family life submitted to Christ. Family life submitted to Christ, since we're all up here as families today. And I'd like us to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Just a short passage here, but it has a lot of meaning in it. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. It says, children, let me see all the children. All right, all eyes up here, children. All right, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And that fathers is representative, of course, for fathers and mothers. I see in this passage that this short passage starts and ends with the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord and bring up our children in the training and instruction of the Lord. In the Lord. So I want to talk today about a family submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. A family submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ is a blessed family. Jesus said that He came preaching the kingdom of God. He came bringing the kingdom of God. And when the kingdom of God comes into a person's life, it changes their life. When the kingdom of God comes into a family's life, it changes their life as a family. It starts pervading every aspect of their family. And it brings a state of blessedness, brings joy, peace in the home, love, right relationships between spouses and parents and children. It brings wholeness. A family submitted to Christ, even the tones of the environment, the tones of communication become pleasing to the Lord. If I can give an example, you know, I depend upon my children a lot. I'm going to pick on Anna today. I particularly depend upon Anna a lot. And she's like the one who, once Joshua clears the table after dinner, and Caleb washes the dishes, and Nehemiah puts the dishes in the dishwasher, Anna is like the final. She comes through and she makes sure the counters are wiped and the floor is swept. And every once in a while we have to remind her to do that. And so I'd like to contrast something. Like I could say, you know, she's up in her room and she's studying hard like she studies. She likes to study hard. And I could say, you know, so I'm trying to get her attention to say, Anna, would you come down here right now and finish up the kitchen, please? Or I could say, hey, Anna, could you come down and finish up the kitchen, please? There's a difference there. Maybe there wasn't so much difference. But I try to say it in an encouraging way, as opposed to, come here right now and finish the kitchen. All right? The tones of communication. Tone makes all the difference. The environment in the home. The communication in the home. Sometimes when my children are working on the dishes together, especially Caleb and Nehemiah, and they're trying to work together, maybe they get into a little argument over some dish, I might say, attitude of peace. Attitude of peace. Let's do our work in a peaceful manner. Well, it says here, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Children, there is one thing. The main thing for you to remember, children, is to obey your parents. Colossians 3:20 even emphasizes it in a stronger way. It says, children, obey your parents in all things. All things. That doesn't mean, children, that we've got the buts, the yeah buts, or the whys. No, but. Do we ever say but to our parents? Or the yeah, but. Or why? When you get older, you'll know why. But right now, it's simply yes, mom. Yes, dad. To have an attitude of obedience. I recall coaching Anna. I'm really picking on her today. I recall coaching Anna in basketball when she was a first grader. And I taught my girls' basketball team a defensive principle. And this defensive principle is that you have to see two things at the same time. You have to see your man that you're covering, or in that case, your girl. And you have to keep your eye on the ball too. And so you have to have eyes in the back of your head. Well, how do you have eyes in the back of your head? I taught them that you have to have the swivel head. All right? You got to go like this. Kind of like one of these cartoons where the head keeps going all the way around on a spindle, like a scarecrow. All right? But to have the swivel head. All right? And I remember my wife and I seeing her later, first grade girl, really doing it in the game. And that really blessed her daddy. I was a proud papa. To see her doing a swivel head as a first grade girl, she had learned to listen to instruction. She had learned to listen to coaching so that she could keep her eye on the ball and keep an eye on her girl that she was covering at the same time and playing defense. Children, a big part of obeying is learning how to listen. What does it mean to listen? Does it mean that you just let something go into your physical ear and then maybe out the other ear? When we listen, we need to listen with our eyes. We need to listen with our ears. We need to listen with our heart, having a heart to obey. And we need to listen with our attitude, having an attitude to obey. Listen to your parents. Listen to your teachers. Children, if you know how to listen, you're going to learn. Really learn how to listen. If you know how to listen and give your full, undivided attention to your parents and your teachers, you will learn. What is obedience? What is obeying? Obeying, children, is obeying the first time with a good attitude. It means you're ready to obey. You're prepared to obey. You're eager to do what is right. You're looking up into your parents' eyes like this and saying, I'm ready to obey you. And it all is about the attitude. I'd like us to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. One thing I've been recently teaching the fifth graders at school. So I've been teaching them synonyms and antonyms. Synonyms are words that are the same or similar in meaning. But antonyms are the words that are opposite in meaning. And I want to read a passage here from 2 Timothy chapter 3, which has a lot of antonyms, a lot of opposites of what we don't want to do as children. It says in 2 Timothy 3:1, it says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. These are antonyms of what we want. These are opposites of what we want. Children, you don't want to be lovers of yourselves. You want to be lovers of others. You don't want to be lovers of money. You want to love God. You don't want to be boastful and proud. You want to be humble. God gives grace to the humble. Even when you achieve something, you get 100% on a test. You're not going around the classroom, look at me, I got 100% on a test. What'd you get? A 70. That's too bad. All right? You want to be humble even when you achieve things. Instead of being abusive to others, being kind to others. Instead of being disobedient to your parents, what would be the antonym of disobedience. What's the antonym of disobedience, Ifa? Obedience. Thank you. All right? Being obeying to your parents. Instead of being ungrateful, having that attitude of gratitude. Being thankful. Being grateful. Instead of being unholy, being holy. Instead of being without love, and I studied this out, really what that means, it means without family affection. Instead of being without love. You know, there are a lot of children nowadays, a lot of young people, a lot of teenagers, where there's not much family affection going on. That filial affection. Yesterday, we got some of the young men together. We went and played putt-putt golf. And at the end of the putt-putt golf, I showed them something that really was meaningful to me. In the city of Gaithersburg, there's this old family cemetery. And if you go to this old family cemetery, it's by the water park there in the city of Gaithersburg. If you read carefully, the gravestones. And some of them, they're very hard to read. But they talk about things like Christian devotion, how this person was devoted to Christ, and how this person kept the faith. There was one that caught my attention. It talked about this one that had a filial devotion to their elderly parents, took care of his or her parents. And so we read these four gravestones, and every single one of them had Christian epitaphs. Showing how they were devoted to Christ. They had family affection for one another. Of course, instead of being unforgiving, what's the antonym of unforgiving? Forgiving. Instead of being slanderous towards others and having wholesome talk with others, being encouraging in our talk with others. Instead of being without self-control, of course, self-control. Instead of being brutal, being gentle. Instead of being not lovers of the good, being lovers of good. Instead of being treacherous, which speaks of disloyalty, having loyalty and faithfulness. Instead of being rash, being considerate of others. Instead of being lovers of pleasure, being a lover of God. This is a life that the Lord is calling to us. But we're seeing in the culture at large, we're seeing some of this take place. And we're seeing that as the family breaks down, it causes a breakdown in society where families are not submitted to the Lordship of Christ. But a family submitted to the Lordship of Christ makes all the difference. And so children, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. When you're obeying Christ, children, you are in effect obeying the Lord. You're obeying in Christ. You're walking after Him. It's helping your relationship with the Lord as you're obeying your parents. In a sense, right now, children, your primary main focus should be your relationship with your parents. And as you have a strong relationship with your parents, that is going to prepare you to have a strong relationship with the Lord. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this pleases the Lord. How do we please the Lord? How do we please Jesus? Children, don't you like to please your parents? Don't you like it, Gloria, when your parents smile at you? And they say, way to go. I know you like to please your parents. I know you love your parents a lot. Don't you like to make your parents happy, children? Davion, you like to make your dad happy? Yes, I know you do. How do we do this? It means that we are obeying. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment of the promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. You know, one of the Ten Commandments is to honor your father and your mother. And what it says here, it says that it's a first commandment with a promise. When it says that it's the first commandment, it means that this command is considered the most important. And children, you need to see this command as the most important. You got quite a row right there, I tell you. Look at that group of children. All right? It's considered the most important to honor your parents because it says it's the first commandment of the promise. And so, children, your most important relationship, you teenage girls, that most important is your relationship with your parents, because this is a command with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life in the earth. What does it mean to honor our parents, children? It means we respect them. It means that we don't roll our eyes at them or have facial language or body language toward them. It means we esteem them. What does it mean to esteem? It means that we value them highly. You should see your parents, children, as the most important people in your life. As your heroes, as your champions. As the ones that are so, so, so important in your life. You value them. It means you care for them. When your parents get older, children, I want to exhort you and encourage you to take care of your parents when your parents can't take care of themselves any longer. You know, I see people like Abigail over here. All right? Abigail and Mrs. Coley there. All right? You guys are related to each other for life. All right? And I exhort you, Abigail, to take care of your grandmother. All right? As she gets older, we need to care for our parents. We need to appreciate our parents. Children, do you appreciate your parents? All right? Do you take it for granted when they make you dinner? All right? Make you breakfast? Do you take that for granted? All right? Appreciate them. You know, I hear about Mr. Davis's hot breakfasts in the morning and so forth. I don't know how he does it because they have to get to work so early in the morning and still he's cooking eggs and bacon and sausage and I don't know how he does it. Essence and RJ, do you appreciate your dad when he cooks those breakfasts? Yes, you do. Thank him. What was that? I missed it. Mother's Day is coming up. Children, express your appreciation. Write them a card. Write them notes. Give thanks. Be others focused, children. So often, children, our parents, particularly our mothers are great others focused champions. But we need to express our appreciation to our parents. If you honor, children, what this command is saying, if you honor your parents, if you listen to them, and you obey them, and you follow their lead, if you have a sincere relationship with Jesus Christ, you will be blessed for it. You will be setting up your life for a lifetime of blessing, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy a long life on the earth. Your future well-being is not dependent upon yourself and your ability to make money. The Bible says God gives us to make wealth anyway. God gives us that gift. But your future well-being is dependent on God. And so if you walk this way, your future will be blessed. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Again, the father is, of course, representative of both parents. What does it mean to exasperate our children? Well, when we exasperate our children, it's a sense of they get a sense where they just have to pull their hair out. I know I sometimes feel like I have to pull my hair out, all right? Or just hit my head against the wall and just doesn't seem to be working. Well, you don't want your children to hit their head against the wall or pull their hair out where they don't know what to do and they're put in these untenable positions or unresolvable situations. What do I do? Maybe the father's telling them to do one thing and the mother's telling them to do something totally opposite. Well, what do I do? Who do I obey? Who do I listen to? Of course, that would be an example of exasperation. How do we exasperate our children? We exasperate our children when we're harsh with them. Ephesians 4:26 says, in your anger, do not sin. Anger in itself is not sin, but it's what we do with that anger. When we have harsh words with that anger, when our children feel our wrath or our children feel our rage. There are times when I get angry, and there are times when I have sinned. There are times when I've had to go back to my children and basically say, I'm sorry for being harsh with you. Will you forgive me? But the Lord and my wife are helping me more and more not to sin in my anger. That when I become angry, to take a breath, take a step back, and to make sure my communications, again, my tones of communication, are pleasing to the Lord. In your anger, do not sin. What does anger do when it's unrighteous anger? It exasperates. When our children feel our anger, it can isolate them. They don't want to be with us. They may be even a little bit scared of us. That would be an example of exasperation. Anger breaks down communication. It can engender resentment in our children. How do we exasperate our children? We exasperate them by having unreasonable expectations. By saying you have to get straight A's, or I'm going to be somehow disappointed with you. We exasperate our children when we give them unreasonable punishments. Like, well, you're grounded for the next 6 months. Something that we know we're not going to even carry it out anyway. God calls us to discipline our children, but to do it in a loving and calm way in which we give a true matching penalty for what they've done. Colossians 3:21 says, fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Now this word discouraged in the Greek means losing heart. We don't want our children to lose heart. We're our expectations of them and what we're putting on them, where it somehow feels impossible for them to meet our expectations. It's a sense of just giving up. I give up. I can't do it. I can't do it anymore. Exasperation. It might mean harping on faults. All right? I have to watch this. And again, my wife helps me to not harp on the faults that my children might have. It means not nagging about different things. Yeah, what does nagging mean? Nagging means when you're asking you to do things over and over and over again. When we probably should just give you a discipline and you'll learn that way. Amen. How do we exasperate our children? We do it when we play favorites. When we have perhaps multiple children in the home and we favor one over the other. That is a way. I want to share something with you that we learned about from the Ezos. The Young Family Flock Group has shared this. The Ezos Growing Kids God's Way. And that is the appeal process. The kids at school know that when they're working with me, there's two basic responses. Yes, Dr. Schweitzer, or to humbly say, may I appeal? Joshua's learned this one right here. Joshua Nunez. May I appeal? And it's for children that have been trained and learned to walk in obedience, in consistent obedience, and for them to apply this process in a humble way. And to, when they're put in one of these exasperating situations, and perhaps the parents don't know of something, to humbly say, may I appeal? And that if we teach our children this, that will save a lot of exasperation. When we sometimes ask them to do things, and perhaps they have information about something that we don't know about. The example that I always use is with Caleb. All right, he learned this principle real early in his childhood. And at the end of dinner, I'm eager to go on to the next thing. And I say, okay, everybody do the dishes, everybody do their job. And Caleb would say, may I appeal? And I'd say, yes, Caleb, you may appeal. And he would say, may I finish my dinner? Yes, Caleb, you may finish your dinner. So that's how Caleb learned the appeal process. But it's yes, mommy and daddy, or may I appeal? Those are the two basic responses as we walk in this way. Instead of exasperating our children, we're called to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. This bringing them up speaks of nourishment. It speaks of a process. It speaks of consistency in caring for our children, feeding our children. A lot of the feeding of our children is through our mouths. All right, giving them words of affirmation, giving them lots of encouragement. We should make it our goal as parents to give 9 parts encouragement and a lot of attaboys and positive affirmation for every 1 part of discipline. 9 parts of affirmation, every 1 part of discipline. And you might think, well, my child needs a lot of discipline. Well, you need to get your mouth going and give them a lot of encouragement. A lot of affirmation. Bringing them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Training is discipline. Training in righteousness. Training in what's right. This is what's right. They got to be trained to know what is right. What do we expect of them? What is the right behavior that we're expecting? Be very clear with them. What is instruction? Correction with our words. Admonishing them. Reproof. Helping them to understand what God is requiring of us. And that's the thing we need to do. We need not get into power battles with our children, where it's between me and you over this issue. The question is, what does the Bible say? What does the Lord say about this? All right, let's go to the Word. All right? Especially for teenage children, if you're getting in a battle with them and you're struggling with them, well, don't make the issue between you and your young person. Say, what is the Lord calling us to? What does the Lord require of us? Go before the Lord. Look at the Scriptures. Don't make the battle between you and your young person. Have them work it out with the Lord. Instruction, of course, is also encouragement and counsel. Again, encourage. 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 We have so much opportunity all day long to use our mouths for positive encouragement. There is all kinds of things that pass us by every day. And there are so many things that we miss. Today, I saw Sarah back there just pleasantly, sincerely worshiping the Lord, focusing on Jesus, and I just had to say something to her parents. That was a blessing for me to see. It is one of the things that I love the most when I see my children and other children of their own initiative worshiping God with all their heart. That is one of the most beautiful sights to see. Encourage. When you see them doing what you're wanting them to do, don't just say, oh, well, I just expect that anyway. Encourage them. Reinforce it. Give them the positive reinforcement. You're doing it. You're doing it. Encourage them as into the godly life that you're desiring. When they do right, don't miss the opportunity to encourage them. Talk with your children. Talk with them. But not in anger. Use your words. Children, the goal of training is that you learn to walk in what's called self-control. That is the goal that your parents have with you. That you learn to walk in self-control. That you learn to be self-motivated. So children, aim to control yourself. That's the bullseye. That's the bullseye on the target, children. That's what you're aiming for. That you control yourself when it comes to your study habits. And you control yourself when it comes to your relationships with your siblings. That you learn to walk in self-control. Listen to your parents. Give your parents your full attention when they're instructing you. Obey your parents. Once you walk in self-control, you can be instructed more and more. You can be taught. And you can be inspired to be the champion that God is calling you to be. Let's all stand. Benga today refer to a passage of Scripture that's related to this one in the prophetic flow. In Psalm 127:3, it says, "Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him." The purpose of training our children is for the Lord. It's for His purposes. That they would be used by God, that they would become fit for His service, that they would become, as we like to talk about, champions for Christ. And it's about the Lordship of Christ. What we're talking about here is not simply things that are nice and make us happy and so that we can be blessed and to have a good life. It's the Lordship of Jesus Christ coming into our family and pervading and impacting every area of our family. When a family is submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, it becomes a blessed family. It's not magic. God isn't a magician. Oh, I tithe today and I'm going to be blessed tomorrow. But as we learn to submit our families in every area of our life to His Lordship, we will ultimately be a blessed family. The key is relationship. Our relationship in the Lord, our relationship as parents with our children, and children, the most important relationship is your relationship with your parents. Parents, pursue your children in this most important relationship. Children, make sure you're communicating with your parents, that you're not holding anything back from your parents, that you're not hiding things from your parents, that you have that open relationship with your parents. And for all of us, let's let the world see Christ in our family relationships. Let's let the world see Christ. Father, I just thank You, Lord God, for each one here. I thank You for each family represented here, Lord God. And if there's just one person in the family that's represented here, Lord God, I pray that that one person would recognize that as he or she submits himself or herself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, Lord God, that You will be working in that family. That as one person submits fully to Christ, that the Lordship of Jesus Christ starts pervading that entire family, Lord God. Father, I just pray a word of encouragement over the parents here, Lord God. Father, that they would recognize that this is their most important calling, Lord God. The raising of their children, Lord God. Lord God, that they have such an opportunity, Lord God. And it's not about having a six-figure salary and giving all these grand things to our children. But it's about the encouragement, the affirmation, the heart-to-heart communication, the love that we can have with our children, Lord God. The relationship that we can have with our children, Lord God. Father, just open up our eyes and help us to see the vision, the relationships that we can have with our children, Lord God, and walking together with them as they grow older, Lord God. Father, just give us a vision of what parenting can be, of what family life can be. And Father, we just give You all glory and praise, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.